Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, the great Sam Cook there. And protests continue through the streets of Los Angeles today. It has been well over a week now since the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And joining us right now, a guy who's been very outspoken on this. He's been appearing on CNN and writing for the Los Angeles Times. He also is part of the morning show, Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis, here on 710 ESPN. LZ Granderson joins us. Hi, LZ. How are you?
I am good. How about yourself?
We're doing good, LZ. Honest answer, are you sick of me yet?
Well, put it this way. I've put a GoFundMe account to help contribute to your next golf lesson. So we can afford to test next year.
I need it. I need it, my friend. LZ, I don't know if you've heard this, but Roger... thank you. I had fun. I always like working with you guys. Roger Goodell has just come out within the last half an hour, LZ, and made a statement addressing all of the black NFL players that were asking him to speak out on this. We're going to play this statement. It's 1 minute. Then we're going to have you help us react to it. Go ahead and hit it, Funch.
It has been a difficult time for our country, in particular, black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe black lives matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much needed change in this country. Without black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
LZ, what do you think of Roger Goodell's statement?
Where's the rest of it? Did it cut out? Or did I miss the Colin Kaepernick part? I'm sorry. Could you play that again?
Oh, yeah. He did not mention Kaepernick.
Yeah, no mention of Kaepernick. You're right. You're right.
So, that's where I'm at. I mean, I'm not going to applaud you for taking the knife out of my back. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I'm going to need you to stop this man from the history of the NFL. You know, I wrote a piece not too long ago for the Times in which I documented the times in which the NFL itself was caught erasing Colin Kaepernick from his history. Things like noting the first time the San Francisco 49ers were returning to the Super Bowl, skipping over the year he led, and going straight back to Steve Young. On the official NFL Communications Facebook page, things like erasing his name from the video games when he's being name-dropped in the lyrics. Little things like that. And trying to scrub away his impact as a player, not as an activist, but as a player in this league. And so every single time, whether it's Commissioner Goodell or an owner or even a player, talks about this particular subject and either forgets or refuses to mention that man's name, I'm going to remind them how they got here. Because if we don't remind them how they got here and allow them to rewrite their history, we're being complicit and we're contributing to not only his contributions as a player, but more importantly, the retaliation for actually trying to get this word out years ago. he wasn't just erased. They retaliated against him, prevented him from getting back in the league. So I am thankful that you have removed the knife from my back, but I will not applaud you for removing the knife out of my back as if you weren't the one that wounded me. You guys feel me?
Totally hear you. So the flaw in his apology is that he doesn't reference Kaepernick. Is that what you needed to hear?
Well, if someone offends you, shouldn't they acknowledge what the offense was in the apology?
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. And look, I'm not even a 49ers fan. You know? It's like, that's not what I'm fighting for. I'm not even, you know, advocating for him as a player. He wasn't even my favorite quarterback when he was on the field. I'm an Aaron Rodgers guy, and I think most of you guys know, and I think Aaron Rodgers is the most talented QB to pick up the football. He doesn't have the accomplishments of some of the other guys, but as a talent, I think he's most talented. But I honor and respect what he has done. And again, I can go through other sports. The NBA erasing Craig Hodges and his contribution wasn't even shown during The Last Dance. That was 10 damn episodes.
Yeah.
He was very important to that first three-peat run. What I do with Raul, if we allow him to just be scrubbed from the NBA's history, and we pretend as if the NBA's always been woke, as if they didn't deal with the same protest during the national anthem years ago, and essentially ran him out of the league. So if we don't keep the history honest, we end up either repeating it, or worse yet, neglecting to acknowledge the contributions of people that help us get here.
LZ, we just kicked around a really interesting subject that I don't know the right answer to, but want you to get your opinion on it. The Galaxy got rid of a player today, a midfielder, yeah, whose wife had written some really objectionable things on social media, but their fans were complaining. They felt like they couldn't have that distraction, and they paid the guy off and cut him. Your partner's name is Steve. Mason and I were comparing our, you know, I'm married, Mesa has a partner. We were saying, if our partner did something super objectionable and we got fired, it would feel very unfair, but I almost understand why the Galaxy did it, because they have to react as a business decision to their fans. What do you think of that? Can someone be punished for what their spouse or partner does?
I mean, according to the justice system, yes. However, in the context of what we're talking about here, I saw it and I thought it was a little over the top. We don't even know if they were fighting, right?
Right,
right.
What if they were having a fight? What if they're separated? You know what I'm saying?
Like, sure.
We don't know the dynamic of their relationship. You know, there's a famous couple. One was a Republican strategist and the other is a Democrat strategist, and I'm sure strategist rather. And I'm pretty sure at some point somebody in the other party said, hey, what's up with your spouse?
Yep.
You know, so I thought it was a little bit much, unless there were other offenses that weren't as public with this player. And they took this opportunity to ride that through the way that Donald Sterling's latest, you know, gaffe was the one that broke the camel's back, but there was plenty of other reasons why they wanted to get rid of him. I don't know the history. I'm an LLC guy, so I'm paying attention to the Galaxy like that. But just on its surface, I don't think it's fair to cause someone to be suspended or lose their job altogether based upon the social media words of their spouse.
Keyshawn, LZ and Travis is the show. LZ Granderson is our guest. So I'm curious, because I did not hear you this morning, LZ, but the Drew Brees story has moved along. There was the written apology. Then there was the apology that he did on Instagram, where he spoke directly to camera. Where are you now on Drew Brees and his apology?
Well, I just had a piece published for the Times talking about Drew Brees, as well as Dabo Sweeney and you know, a handful of other coaches who have found themselves somewhat in hot water for being non-racist. And this is what I mean. non-racist or non-racism. Is the mindset in which you personally are not racist, nor do you say racist or racially insensitive things. In fact, you personally may be a huge philanthropist and donate a lot of money to social justice causes. But at the same time, as an attempt to try to appease people who may be racist, you are willing to kind of ride the middle, play both sides, if you will. We know NFL owners donate to both sides. They make money off of private prisons industry while also donating to the local Boys and Girls Home to help minorities, things like that.
Yep.
Playing both sides used to be very acceptable sort of way of handling it. Keeps you out of like controversy. But what's happened in the since, you know, Mr. Floyd was murdered by those police officers is that people have become quite intolerant of you being in the middle or being non-racist. And to me, Drew Brees' comments, where I understood where they were coming from, nonetheless, they misconstrued the conversation, and he comes across to me as being non-racist. What we require now, what this movement requires now, is for you to be anti-racist. And I'll give you, you know, a quick example, so now we got to go. So if Drew Brees throws an interception, and if all the players in the field says, I'm non-interception, they will simply say, I didn't throw that, he did. And that'll be that. And then the guy gets a pick six, and that hurts the team. But you don't see that. Drew Brees throws an interception. Everyone becomes anti-interception and tries to stop that guy, tackle that guy, to stop further damage to the team. So if you used to apply that to the conversation of race, you can be non-racist and say, well, I didn't say the N-word. Well, I would never discriminate. But if you are complicit in contributing by being passive in the presence of racism, you are almost as bad as the racist yourself because you're allowing that mentality and that system to perpetuate itself. So what we're seeing now from the young people and what we're seeing now from community activists and even some politicians is a push towards anti-activism, anti-racism, in which the very presence of racism offends you to the point at which you want to stop it. Not offend you to the point at which you don't want to add to it, but that you want to see it die.
Right, that you'll actually take action. You're right.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Drew Brees, I applaud you for acknowledging that you were wrong. Now I encourage you to not be a non-racist person, but to be an anti-racist person and not contribute to any of the conversation or dialogues that continue to perpetuate racism.
LZ, thank you for doing this, and
thanks for letting
me crash the morning show. And I would encourage everybody, if they want to learn more about this, to read LZ's piece in the LA Times, where he talks a lot about this Drew Brees thing he just explained. LZ, have a great weekend.
Thank you, brothers. And listen, John, seriously, by working your golf game, you're a great guy, but I can't have Travis walk around with his chest out like that.
I'm on it, man. You got it. Thanks, man.
Thanks, LZ. Yeah, he's talking about the word is complicity. It's like right now what we're seeing in the streets is people are saying it's time to pick a side.
Okay, so Mace, all week you and I have been asking the question, is this time different? Are we just going to act outraged and then be right back here in the same place a few months from now? I now think there is tangible proof that this is different. And I'll explain with examples coming up next.
All right, that's coming up next for you. 5 o'clock Fast Track's coming up, too. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. We are keeping track of the multiple protests now in Los Angeles, continued protesting in honor of the tragic murder of George Floyd last week in Minneapolis, looking at a massive protest in downtown Los Angeles. And by the way, tomorrow is expected to be the biggest protest day yet across the country. Tomorrow, Saturday.
And you've been asking all week, Mace, so have I. Is it going to be different this time? We've seen protests before. We've seen people get outraged. But nothing changes. Are people actually going to make tangible steps towards changing? Is it going to be more than just lip service? So I found a couple examples today of why I'm hopeful that people are actually going to take action and not just talk and forget about it. There's a guy named Alex Ohanian. He's the founder of Reddit, and he's married to Serena Williams, the tennis player. He resigned from Reddit today, from the board of the company he founded. He donated $1 million. And then he said this. I want you to listen to this because he certainly didn't have to, but these are the types of acts that we're seeing. Here's Alex Ohanian.
15 years ago, I co-founded Reddit as a place for people to find community and a sense of belonging. It is long overdue to do the right thing. I'm doing this for me, for my family, and for my country. I'm saying this as a father who needs to be able to answer his black daughter when she asks, "What did you do?" So, I have resigned as a member of the Reddit board. I have urged them to fill my seat with a black candidate. And I will use future gains on my Reddit stock to serve the black community, chiefly to curb racial hate. And I'm starting with a pledge of $1 million to Colin Kaepernick's Know Your Rights camp. I believe resignation can actually be an act of leadership from people in power right now. And to everyone fighting to fix our broken nation, do not stop.
Does that happen, Mace? Does Alex Ohanian do that if George Floyd wasn't murdered last week?
No, no. That's an important signal that Ohanian is committed to real change. And by the way, you know, we talk about all the time the power in this country really belongs disproportionately to white people. And what he's saying is, I want an African-American on my board of the company that I have founded to represent the diversity that is necessary. That's a big move.
And it's tangible change that we can see. It's monetary change. Now, yesterday, it might have been during Fast Track, I had the story for you guys about Mike Norvell, the Florida State football coach.
Slick Mike.
Right. So he lied about a meeting. He said, I've met with every one of my players individually. And Marvin Wilson, who's his best player, All-American defensive tackle and a captain for the Seminoles, came out and said, that didn't happen. This dude didn't meet with us. He didn't meet with any of us. He sent out a group text, and then he lied. And we're not going to work out until he deals with us. So that story took an unusual twist last night and this morning. Norvell did what you suggested, Mace. In an attempt to fix it, he reached out to every one of his players individually. And he got with Marvin Wilson, the player who called him out. And Wilson said he appreciated his coach admitting his mistake, and that he met with him, and he said that Wilson wanted to launch, with the coach's approval, a three-pronged plan for every player on the Florida State roster. Here is Marvin Wilson. This runs a little over a minute. Marvin Wilson explaining what's going to happen from here on out with his team at Florida State.
Hey, coming back around full circle. Yesterday I took a stand. That was not only for me or FSU football, not even for athletes in general. It's for Big George Floyd, black people in general, for our oppression that we've been going through for over 400 years. You know, I want to say shout out to Colin Kaepernick for really being the first athlete I ever saw really take a stand for something that he believed in. And I believe thoroughly that black people has been oppressed for way too long in America. You know, moving forward, yeah, we met as a team today, coming together, and we're going to do three things. One, we're going to be, everybody on the team is going to be registered voters going forward, that we're going to have our say-so on this next election. I encourage everybody, every black person, every athlete, anybody that has a say-so that's willing to vote, to go out and vote and help this next election. Number two, we're going to move forward, and we're going to do different fundraisers and different things like that going forward to help give money to organizations to help send black kids to college. Because we need more doctors, we need more lawyers, we need more politicians, we need more people with say-so of color. Number three, what we're going to do is we're going to do more fundraisers and to help kids around Tallahassee.
All right, Mace, does that happen if George Floyd is not murdered?
No, and it might not even matter if it may not even have happened if Slick Mike wouldn't have pulled what he pulled and claimed that he talked to his whole team about it, which is just, you know, an outright lie. I think, you know, this kid has every reason to be upset about it, and it spurred him to do something positive.
And this is why I'm arguing that this time around, that George Floyd's death is not going to be in vain, that this is not going to be. You read a list yesterday, Mace, of 10 or 11 black people who had been killed by the police. And every time it happens, we say never again. We're not letting it happen. This time feels different. These acts by people like Alex Ohanian and Marvin Wilson, I don't think these things happen if the whole country isn't upset and protesting. I think the protests led directly to things like that, that people are going to do. You know, Michael Jordan and the Jordan brand donated $100 million today. Yeah. $100 million to black causes. I just think, as I said earlier in the week, George Floyd's death, which was horrible and tragic and completely unnecessary, is going to spur this country into actual real change. And if you look around, you'll see it. And those are just two examples of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if you look at, first of all, we are in our 11th day of protests now. Our 11th day. That didn't happen in Ferguson with Michael Brown or with Eric Garner in New York or Tamir Rice or Walter Scott or Philando Castillo, who had happened in Minnesota, Tamir Rice, Sandra Bland. I mean, this is a different scenario.
And it didn't happen with Trayvon Martin, and people were really upset over that.
And you mentioned the phrase tipping point. I think we are at that tipping point. And you know what? I think that LZ Granderson made a great point about Drew Brees. He said, it's no longer enough to be not racist. It's time to be anti-racist. Now is the time to pick a side. It was just a few years ago, John, it was considered to be politically toxic to tweet out hashtag Black Lives Matter. It was considered to be politically toxic. Now you see it across all social media platforms.
You just heard Roger Goodell say it in a video.
Roger Goodell just said it. A few years back, 2016, when this was all going down with Colin Kaepernick, Roger Goodell and the other NFL owners cowered at the idea of the president of the United States coming down on them. And now it is completely turned. You heard Roger Goodell use the phrase, we support Black Lives Matter. It is no longer enough to just say, I'm not a racist. I don't do racist stuff. I'm not a racist guy. It's, are you willing to take a stand against racism? Are you willing to fight that oppression that our black brothers and sisters have been dealing with for so long? Are you willing to go out on the end, go out on the end of the limb, and fight and protest and demand change? And you know, one of the things that's going on municipally, John, today. Florida Governor or California Governor Gavin Newsom announced an initiative where he is going to stop officers from being able to use chokeholds. It's been okay. It literally stops the flow of blood to your brain, and it has been an acceptable practice among police departments for a very long time. That's something that we're going to see disappear. That's one little, no, let's not even say little, that's one real reform that has been made so far since the beginning of these protests.
So last night, TNT, because the NBA announced they were coming back, did a Thursday night TNT show like they would normally be doing if the NBA playoffs were going on.
Sure.
And that show with Ernie Johnson and Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal made a really good point about how you can still, going back kind of the Drew Brees conversation, you can still passionately defend the flag, yet understand what this protest is about, and you'll be surprised which one of those four made the point, and we'll play it for you coming up next.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. We're keeping track of all of the protests going on right now across Los Angeles and across the country. It is another huge day for peaceful protest, demanding that police brutality end and demanding justice for George Floyd, who was killed last week at the hands of a police officer named Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis. And, John, you mentioned that last night Ernie and Kenny and Shaq were on TNT, and this subject came up. How could you forget Charles Barkley?
Yeah. Well, and you'll be surprised who the one that I thought made the most interesting point was. It was Ernie. And what he was reacting to the Drew Brees controversy. And you're going to read a lot today about people. President Trump weighed in on it today about people and the flag and how you can and must respect the American flag. I agree with that. I think you should respect the American flag. But Ernie Johnson's dad, who was a sportscaster, I met Ernie's dad once, longtime Braves announcer, was also a Marine. And Ernie put it into terms that I think will explain to anyone struggling with this flag issue. Like, how could Colin Kaepernick take a knee, or how can anyone take a knee during the anthem? Here's Ernie Johnson last night on TNT.
As you point out, Shaq, you talk about the military background in your family. And, you know, I have that too. And a dad who's a Marine, who was a Marine. And I can see the flag at my mother's house now, the flag that they folded at his funeral and handed to her. And I see that every time I go to the house. Here's the situation. You can fly the flag at your house. You can salute the flag. You can revere the flag. You can respect the flag. And all of those are fine. What you cannot do is use the flag as a blindfold. You can't use the flag as a blindfold and not see the things you've seen with your very eyes that tell you that what's keeping this country held back is this systemic racism. When you see these things happen, you can't be blinded by that. And it's said often, you know, my country right or wrong. But I think that needs to change to my country right our wrongs. Because the wrongs are there, and it's up to us to take the initiative and be intentional. And for us to say, I'm going to be uncomfortable. I am going to listen to somebody I normally wouldn't listen to. I'm going to read something I normally wouldn't read. And I'll tell you something. I didn't know anything about Killer Mike till last Friday. And now I'll never forget him because of what he said and what I learned. That's what I have to do. I've got to have open ears, open eyes, and an open heart to hear voices that I wouldn't normally hear and help me understand.
Had you heard that yet?
No, I had not.
I thought that was an extraordinary commentary by Ernie.
Completely agree.
I love Ernie. I think he does a great job on that show.
He's the best.
That I think is some of his best work.
Yep.
And that's a guy whose father was a Marine and who sees the flag that was on his coffin whenever he goes to see his mom. And he understands what's going on. And I hope other people, after hearing him, understand his point.
Yeah, you can use the flag, you can revere the flag, but you can't use it as a blindfold. That is really, really powerful. You know, I think that as I look at these protests and I see that they are multi-generational, but especially young, so many of these protesters, multicultural. Yeah, I mean, black and brown people, white people. Young, under the age of 30, and the fact that they are not relenting, the fact that they are still out there. And by the way,
you know, despite the fact that early in these protests, there was some ugly, there was a separate thing going on. There's some ugly, it has been really, really peaceful and organized since then. And there is no sign of it stopping. You know, I do think that we've reached a point where we're going to see significant change. John, you mentioned people giving money, and that's great. Eric Garcetti cut the budget or is devoting $250,000 of the budget, $250 million of the budget for Los Angeles to the proceeds of underserved neighborhoods, communities of color. We've seen Gavin Newsom and now Minneapolis, the chokehold being banned as a police tactic. I think we're going to see real legislative change. I think we're going to see commitments to community policing. I think we're going to see commitments to stricter discipline for officers who are involved in incidents that involve brutality. I mean, Derek Chauvin had 16 complaints against him, and he was only disciplined in the case of two of those. What were those other 16 complaints? Those shouldn't be shielded from the public. We should know exactly what they are.
And will a police officer be able to compile 16 complaints before he gets fired?
Correct.
I don't think so anymore.
No, I don't think so.
That's LZ's column today, that instead of just saying, okay, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt, it's like, no, zero tolerance. If you abuse your, you know, if you're guilty of police brutality or racial discrimination, you're out.
Yep.
You're not going to get 16 complaints. You're not going to get two complaints. You know, it's at some point you have to say enough. And I think that's what these protesters are all saying. We're done asking. Enough. And tragically, somebody had to die. George Floyd had to die. But I think his death inspired a movement. And you're seeing it now.
Yeah, and I would anticipate that these...
George Floyd's going to be in history books, Mace.
Yeah.
They're going to teach his name in classes.
I would anticipate that these protests are going to continue through, at the very least, his funeral, which is Tuesday in Houston. And tomorrow is reportedly, among organizers, going to be the biggest protest yet, both here in Los Angeles, in Washington, and in cities across the country. There is no sign of this slowing down, and that speaks to the anger and the frustration and the helplessness that people of color feel when it comes to law enforcement. John and I have benefited greatly from white privilege. We never had to worry about getting pulled over because we were white. We never were taught by our dads, make sure you keep your hands at 10 and 2. Don't reach until the officer is there for your license and registration. We were never taught those things because we didn't need to know them. Now, I think, is a tipping point, is a moment when all of that frustration is boiling over, but boiling over into peaceful demonstrations. I think, John, increasingly, I think this is real. I think there are going to be real changes, systemic changes to the way people of color, African Americans, are treated in our communities.
Maria Taylor, who's an anchor for ESPN, has been very outspoken on this, including on First Take today. We'll have what Maria said for you coming up next. And at the top of the hour, Lindsay, top of the hour, 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock fast track. So that's coming up too.
By the way, and very big fast track news. Very big fast track news.
What is it?
We'll talk about it when we get to fast track at 5
okay.
o'clock.
Okay.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is another day of peaceful protest across Los Angeles over the murder of George Floyd last week. All four police officers that were involved in the incident are now arrested and facing multiple charges. I think Derek Chauvin is now facing second-degree murder charges. The other three officers charged with aiding and abetting. And we are on the verge of what I think is major cultural change.
Here's another example of it. Maria Taylor, who is an anchor on ESPN, she is part of the College Football Game Day show. She does sideline reporting for college football. Pretty high profile. She's doing a lot of NBA this year.
She's great. She's great.
She was on First Take this morning, and this runs a couple of minutes, but she was quite outspoken about the Drew Brees story. Here's Maria.
Let me be clear. I don't know about his heart either, but I know what should reside in your heart is empathy, and I don't believe that you have to be trolled and dragged through Twitter and Instagram in order to change your mind and realize that what you said was intolerant and or could be considered insensitive later. If you had been educated and forced to confront the issues and, like I said, had empathy in your heart, then you would have known the black experience is not easy, especially when 70% of your league is African American, and these are the conversations that you should have had. So maybe it's not his whole heart's bad, but something about empathy was off if the first thing out of his mouth was it's disrespect. I will not tolerate anything that is disrespectful to our nation and the flag. That was the first thing. Now, if you would have came out and said, if you would have said, oh, well, you know, I understand why it happens and I understand the meaning of protest and why we need it. However, X, Y, Z. But that's not the way it went down in that conversation. And it wasn't a quote in a magazine. It wasn't a quote in a newspaper. And I'm exhausted and I'm tired of having to listen to someone say something like that and then have to sit back and be like, well, maybe he didn't. Maybe it's not his heart and it's this and it's that. When you reveal yourself to me and you say something like that and you say it out of an intolerant mind and or heart or a non-empathetic heart, and for the last 5 years all we've done is see countless deaths in the street, my patience left my body when I watched George Floyd take his last breath. So if that didn't affect you and make you want to reassess the way that you're going to address a question that includes racial injustice in our country after you watch that man die in the middle of the street, something's off. I don't know if it's your heart, I don't know if it's your mind, but I don't accept either of them anymore. I will not tolerate it anymore. And Drew Brees, I will accept your apology, but I don't have to sit here and wonder what is wrong or what is right and guess if you're a good or bad person. I am not the judge and or the jury. All I can do is let you reveal yourself, and countless people are doing that right now. And for the first time ever, they are reaping some kind of consequence that does not have any retaliation for me or the people that are calling them out. For the first time, I feel like I can go on TV and say certain things. For the first time, people feel that they can tweet certain things and people can be held accountable for the things that they are putting on display. And I'm not going to apologize for that.
Completely unscripted, by the way.
Yep. She's fantastic.
People have had it. There's another. She had a line in there. My patience left my body. Yeah. That's where the world's at. People are done. People have had it. You know, somebody tracked Maria Taylor down. And
yep.
Tweeted to her or texted her and said, you suck. People like Drew Brees and Nick Saban are the reason you have a job. Brees doesn't like kneeling for the flag. And how many QBs kneeled in 2019? How many? You're just a race baiter. And Maria posted this guy's phone number and posted that text and wrote, I don't know how you got my number, but I don't care how much you harass me. I'll still use my voice passionately and decisively right now so that others can be heard later.
Well, and I'll tell you,
people have had it.
I'll tell you, John, I think it was Michael Wilbon on Pardon the Interruption, who said he thinks a really good chunk of white America agrees with Drew Brees. They looked at those comments and said, yeah, you know what? He said exactly what I'm thinking. There is still a chunk of the country that is not awakened to what is happening right now. You know, those are the people, I hope, that are affected by Drew Brees' apology, who turn on the news at night and they see the people in the streets. They see people protesting. I hope they're affected by that. Funch, you said yesterday we had a couple of calls that were in that vein. For whatever reason, we were racing through calls and we didn't actually get any of those. But you said we had calls like that?
Yeah, we had calls that, you know, that took up for Drew Brees and went against Colin Kaepernick's kneeling for the flag and all that stuff. We had a bunch of calls like that.
You know, Mace, first of all, I agree with Wilbon. I think there is a large portion of the country that agrees with Drew Brees. But that doesn't mean we can't change their minds. There were, if you would have asked people, what are we in, 2020? If you would have asked people in 1990 Are we ever going to have a black president? I bet you it would have been 80%. No way. 80%. Of course, in that 20-year span, we had Barack Obama was president for 8 years. People change their minds, and society changes their minds about things all the time. Look at the statistics on the legalization of marijuana, especially for people who have chronic illness. You know, it's been passed in multiple states now. 20 years ago, you couldn't pass it. That, you know, there's an old saying in politics there that, you know, there's nothing that can stop an idea whose time has come. And yep. The idea is police brutality and racial discrimination has got to stop. It's an idea whose time has come. And even though there is a large portion of the country that agrees with Drew Brees and what he said the first time, we can all hope that they now see what Drew's saying now, that he blew all of his capital, all of his career, to his two NFL Man of the Year awards, the fact that he was one of the most respected players in the league. He threw it all out the window because he didn't get this idea. And now he's coming around to it, and hopefully other people will too.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many areas that can be addressed now, and we can talk about. Maria's right. We here are able to say things right now that frankly would have been very uncomfortable a couple of years ago when this was a highly politicized issue.
Oh, a couple of months ago they wouldn't let us talk about it.
Yeah.
Now it's an idea whose time has come.
Yep.
The majority of people now think this is completely unacceptable. Zero tolerance. You mentioned that cop had 16 complaints filed against him before he got fired. His days are over. We're not, as a society, we're not going to put up with it anymore. If you don't believe me, take a look at what's going on in your streets.
Yeah.
These people aren't out there walking for no reason.
And, you know, I think one of the things that needs to be attacked with these protests and criminal justice reform is going to be a huge issue on the table at some point. You know, of all the people, I think 13% of the country is African-American, roundabout. 37% of the people in prison are African-American. There is a disproportionate incarceration rate for people of color. And that's something else that is going to need to be addressed. That's real. And that's systemic racism. You know, you think about stop and frisk in New York, those stop and frisk laws. How many African Americans were profiled and were victims of stop and frisk and ended up going to jail and ended up going to prison? How many people of color can't make bail and so stay in jail? We need bail reform. There are so many issues that can now be addressed and that can now be talked about because of what happened last week and the protests that have come since.
Yeah, and I believe we got a chance at real change here. Let's hope I'm right.
Yep. All right. So coming up next, it's a sad day, John.
In what
sense? Sad day for Fast Track.
Oh, you're going to announce this now?
Yeah, because this, John, today is my final Fast Track.
If you don't know what we're talking about, stay tuned. 5 o'clock Fast Track is next. And we'll explain what Mason is talking about coming up.
So sad. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.